such a secret kept for the ages. Precious truth kept quiet in his heart. Hey guys, welcome to episode 14 of Gin Talks. This episode is called Stop and Smell the Wildflowers. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And Katie's going to tell you about our new intro music we tried. We keep trying out different intro music. And today, we tried something different. So
that was Deanna Wood. She is a local musician, and she wrote that song for a community site that we've talked about before, Our City on a Hill. So that was the beginning of that song. So we literally are playing it on a device. And yep. Then moving it slowly away.
We don't really have the time or money to like mix the sound. You know, like other people probably do.
So that fading out was a literal moving the device away from the computer.
I wish you could see this on video right now.
But it's a really great song.
It is a great song. But yeah, Katie literally held her phone up to the computer and moved it away.
And there will be a link in the show notes to Deanna's contact information, but also a link to the whole song for you to hear it because it's really good.
It is a really, really pretty song.
It's called No More Secrets.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Yeah, so if it sounded muffled or terrible, don't. Hate us.
Yeah. And we're probably going to do it again.
Yep. So get used to it.
And we will perfect the moving the music away as it fades out process.
Yes. Maybe eventually we can have...
I'm sure there's an app or something. Intro.
There is. Extra. And I'm sure if we... actually probably could figure it out with... Outro.
Is that really a word?
Yeah, that's a word.
Okay.
Intro and outro. I bet I could figure it out with like some editing software. Like I know how to do that from my days and news. But there's got to be a way to. Anyway, okay. We'll figure that out later.
Yes. We're going on a trip with us.
Yes, on that.
Chasing the red ball.
Yes.
Or the squirrel. Whatever we're chasing.
Yes. So today's episode. It was Katie's idea, but it was from my story, I guess. So,
share your story.
Yeah. So, we called it Stop and Smell the Wildflowers because we were just talking last week after we did our podcast. We usually sit and talk more about an accidental date my fiance and I went on. And that led us to starting to talk about... how everything doesn't have to be planned and spontaneous little trips and spontaneous little stops in life are the best. And that's what makes the best memories and everything doesn't have to go along with plan. Sometimes when you just stop and smell, you know, people say stop and smell the roses. That's when the best memories happen.
I heard a quote this week actually that reminds me just of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And, it was finding meaning in the margins.
Yeah, that's so good.
And so you think about driving, which we're going to tell your story in a minute, but the things off to the side that we might think is only pit stops or just on the way, that it's finding meaning in the margins, which y'all did.
Yeah. So my fiance and I had to drive from Huntsville to Atlanta for my cousin's wedding, and the trip started off with us forgetting about the time change and running very late and me having to like get in the back seat and him not look while I change clothes and then him like changing in a parking lot and into like a full gown, not even like a normal like wedding attire, but like a gown and a suit.
What you mean? Like, he changed into a gown.
Nope.
I'm like, why?
I was in the gown.
Why
was he
in the gown?
like a ball gown. So we got there. We were a little bit late to the ceremony because he couldn't figure out where to park, and then we got in a huge fight. Like a huge fight. Yelled at each other, whole shebang. And then as we walked into the wedding, we both like burst into laughter because we were like, why are we fighting? And this is pretty funny. Like, here we are walking into this very fancy wedding very late. So once the wedding was over, we spent the night with one of our friends. There were actually a bunch of, there was me and a friend of mine from college in one room, and then a friend and her husband, and then Caleb on the couch. So we just had a big, a big sleepover, and then had breakfast and whatnot, and made our way back to Huntsville. And for some reason, we went the windiest way. I mean, through, like, the mountains. Like, through, almost through Scottsboro, I guess. And then we went through, like,
you went the Mentone route.
Mentone, yeah.
And it is the shortest distance route.
And very pretty.
Yes.
I did have a panic attack when we were going up one of the mountains because I thought for sure that a car was in our lane and coming to hit us. And I teared up. I literally teared up. I was about to cry. And we both started laughing again. He was like, you really are scared. And I was like, I'm like sweating. Like, this mountain is scary. I'm kind of a control freak. So, yeah. Anyway. So we went back through Mentone. And I was telling him that there's a place called the Wildflower Cafe. And I've told him about it before. And he had planned to take me. We never went. Because it's really like a cute little mountain town. It's almost like a mini little Gatlinburg in Mentone. Like, there's a bed and breakfast. Like, little cabins you can stay in. Like, very cute, quaint, like, off-the-beaten-path kind of little town. And I was like, I want to stay here. Like, this is so cool. And he was like, I promise I'll bring you back to Wildflower Cafe. And as we were passing out, I was like, can we please just stop and get a cup of coffee? I was like, we have nothing else to do. Like, we were trying to get to church, but we were way ahead of schedule. So I was like, let's just stop. So he turned around, and we went. And as we got out, it started, like, barely snowing. And I was like, what in the world? And it's just the cutest place. It's, like, very magical. So we walked in, and I'm like, this is like, my place. Like, he knows I'm, like, in my element. Like, the people are, like, kind of, like, hippie, and they're, like, little knickknacks for sale
lots
everywhere.
Dream catchers everywhere.
Like, little coffee cups, like, handmade stuff. And I'm like, we want a table for two. And we got, so we ordered coffee, and he ordered a piece of chess pie for us. And it was like all the stress in the world just like stopped. Like we were in like a little bubble of like, oh my goodness, this is why we ever started dating in the first place. Like we really like each other, you know, and it's has been so like crazy lately with wedding planning that we forget that we just really like each other. So I like look out the window. I mean, everyone in the room is like, it's snowing. I swear it snowed for like 10 minutes and then the sun came out and stopped. It was like a movie. I was like, okay, this is just like magic. And had a great conversation. And the little coffee cup I was using was just so cute. And it was like this really pretty blue color. It said love on it. And it was so cute. And so I asked the waitress, I was like, do you think I can buy this from you? And she was like, let me ask Miss Moonbeam. And I was like, Miss Moonbeam. And that's literally the owner's name. And Caleb, my fiance, laughed and said, oh, yeah, right. Like, my name's Mr. Stargaze. And I was like, Caleb, that's really her name. I was like, that's seriously her name. And he was like,
Miss Moonbeam.
Miss Moonbeam.
Oh, that is magical.
And maybe she, like, made it up for herself.
Right,
but
her nickname.
She is Miss Moonbeam. Mm-hmm. So the girl came back and she said she could sell it to you for $2. And I was like, oh, like, absolutely. Like, put it on our check, whatever. And so I told her that we were about to get married and we're having a coffee bar. And I would love for that to be there. Like, whatever. That would be a cute little story. She said, well, how about you just let that be your wedding gift for me? And I was like, oh, my gosh. Of course, I'm, like, tearing up. And Caleb was like, oh, you're a con artist. Like, you got that coffee cup for free. And I was like, no, I had no idea she was going to do that. So got a little coffee cup out of it, and he like took a really sweet little picture of me with it and like posted it on social media. It was really cute because he does not really ever mushy, and his captioned it like, I love this woman. And I was like, okay, this is getting really mushy. Like, we're never like this. But, it was just for like 1 hour, we like got to sit there and just like not worry about the stress we had to go back to or all the things we needed to do. It was just like me and him talking and enjoying, like, it's just such a peaceful little place. And he was like, I'm really glad you made a stop because I never would have stopped. He's very much like a plan, a plan, a plan. And I always make him like veer off the path and go do like random weird stuff like that. And he was like, I'm so glad that we did that because now we have this like cool little story. And we always like, anytime we think about it, we're just like very happy. And we have the cool coffee cup to have at our wedding and and have that little that piece of the sweet story there.
About being different in areas is that you'll both kind of expose each other to things that you wouldn't have seen through your own eyes.
Like, so true. And on the way home from there, we were going down more winding roads and he like pulled off and was like, do you want to take a picture over this? Like, this is so pretty. And I was like, that is not like him at all. Cause I'm like the picture taker. I document like every single moment, which he's always thankful for later when he's like, oh, like that was a fun
day. Nobody really loves the picture taker when they're in the moments, but then afterwards they really are happy that the picture taker's documented it.
His dad takes pictures like all the time and it drives him nuts. And I'm just like that. And he's like, how? What in the world? Like, I thought I was getting away from this. But he's always like, I'm glad you took pictures. And the, like, two times I've not taken pictures of our, like, excursions, he's like, I can't believe you didn't take a picture. We don't have anything to remember it by. And I'm like, well, see. But, yeah, so we stopped off and, like, took a pretty picture over, like, the overlook. And it was just so, I mean, as soon as we got back into Huntsville, it was like we hit a stress wall again. Alex started freaking out, and then people were asking me wedding questions, like, I'm talking about immediately when we got back into Huntsville. And I was like, oh, it was a magical little moment. But
just to pull over, Wildflower Cafe?
Wildflower Cafe, yes. And we can put that in the show notes, too. It's a really cool place to go. If you're ever traveling.
We'll totally put that in the show notes. Yes. From like Huntsville to Atlanta.
Yeah.
It is the shortest route through Mentone.
Very, like, country back roads. You might think that you're lost when you start on the journey, but you're not.
You there are so many layers to everything you've said. I'm sitting there listening. Just like you talked about, there was another windy road, and we decided to pull over, and that life is in this journey is a long, winding road, and if we don't stop and pull over, we will miss it.
Yeah, and it gets exhausting. That's another way to look at it. Like, if you just keep driving, it can be exhausting, and you're winding, and you're just trying to get there. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we do. We try to just get there.
And we miss the fact and that we destination's not the point.
No.
Really, ever. It's like on the way is the point. Growing up, my dad was a traveling salesman, and he like a driving traveling salesman. So he was gone all week and home on the weekends. And so when we would go on trips, often we would ride along with him, and he would have to stop off the beaten path at these plants, furniture places. And so we would have our dog with us, Gretel, and my mom and I would have to walk Gretel in these gravel parking lots. And my mom never wanted to go to a fast food restaurant. She wanted to like stop at the Holiday Inn and get a real meal. And just they were so different. And okay, y'all, it's allergy season, so I'm really sorry. I'm trying desperately not to go.
I know. My throat is really messed up.
But looking back, those are some of my favorite memories with my mom. And we'd stay in the Motel 6. We'd stay in the motels on the side of the road. And it what a trip that would normally take someone about 5 hours to get to the beach, it would take us about 13 or 2 days because Dad That's would so stop cute. On the way.
Yeah.
And so I look back and there were times I was really frustrated, but I'm really glad. I remember my mom wrote a story about an apple. Like, she wrote this little kid's story in the car and would read it from her notebook. And those are memories I haven't thought about in a really long time until right now.
Yeah. But they're such sweet memories. All because of not, like, even the trip, like, at the beach. It's like the...
I don't even remember a whole lot of the stories once we actually got there.
I remember my family trips the same way. It's like the little things, like... along the way and the cute little memories. I was just telling Katie about a trip my brother and I took last year to Asheville, North Carolina to see the Biltmore and really just hang out, just like take a sibling trip before he got married. And we did almost kill each other, just so you know. We're not like this perfect brother and sister.
What a great idea.
Because, Katie was like, that's so sweet. And I was like, she was like, my kids might kill each other. I was like, oh,
we. I was trying to picture them going on a trip together.
We had, after that argument I told you about, well, I called my mom thinking again that she was going to rescue us. And she was like, so, I mean, I'm sure she was at home laughing. She said, well, what do you want me to do? You're thousands of miles away, so you need to just figure it out. And I was like,
Thousands.
I'm sure it's not even thousands. It's like hundreds. But she was like, what do you, I can't, literally I can't break your fight up. And I was like, he's the meanest person in the world. Why did I come on this trip with him? She was like, okay, figure it out and let me know how the hike goes. And then, of course, we like, I remember I took a nap. And this is a TMI story. But during that fight, I took a nap. I was very tired. And
it wore you out.
It wore me out. And he, like, went to the bathroom. But I saw it in my nap state of mind that he had been in there for, like, hours. And I was like, he's dead in the bathroom. And I was mean to him. And so I, like, woke up and I was like, Christian? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm, like, apologizing to him. He was like, okay. But it was another one of those, like, little cool little, it was just, like, a cool moment, like, where we, it was not convenient for us to go. I had to take off work. He had to take off work. Both of us were super broke. But we went and we drove and we definitely got in a fight. But we also had a great time at the Biltmore. And then we went on a hike. Really, that was driving up a mountain for a really long time and then climbing a hill. I mean, it's a hill. A glorified hill. It's called Max Patch Mountain. It is beautiful. The view is beautiful. And it's part of the Appalachian Trail. So people were hiking mm-hmm. the Appalachian Trail because they, like, hike the trail for real. And he's like, oh, I'm going to do that one day. Like, I'm like, I hope you do.
I have a friend that she does it, and she's done it by herself. Like, she's yeah. really good at it, and she's met friends along the way well, on the Appalachian. They all kind of know each other.
Okay, just so there were the people, like, camped out at the top of Max Patch Mountain taking a break from the trail. And Christian was like, that's them. And I was like, who's them? And he's like, the hikers.
Okay, and they give themselves, like, they have trail names.
Yep.
And, like, and then when they come together and share their stories of, like, why they're there, like,
mm-hmm.
it was some of the neatest things when she talked, I'm not a hiker. Like, I'll hike all day, but at the end of the day, you need to put me in a hiker.
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But with her, I would actually go because she knows the ins and outs. She knows yeah. where to sleep because there's, like, hostel's not the right word, but there's little places right. along the way. And but it was interesting when she talked about the names that they had, the mm-hmm. reason that they had names. And a lot of people are out there by themselves after a divorce or the death of a child
yeah.
or the death of a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And just to hear their stories. And I hope she will one day write a book. She started blogging. And I will put a link to her blog in,
what's it
in
called?
The show notes. I can't remember. Her name is Naomi.
Okay.
But a link I've heard to you talk her about blog. She used to, when she lived here, she was in ministry with Lincoln Village Ministries with me. And she was one of my dearest friends. And she's one of my heroes. But I will put a link to her blog in the show notes. But her stories are beautiful. And she writes beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was like, okay, what would be my nickname? She goes, you kind of get your nickname while you're there.
Yeah.
Like, it comes as, and I was like, okay, I won't nickname myself yet.
Did you get one?
Not yet, because I got to do it.
Oh.
You know, she's like, as you're on the trail, no, I've not gone.
Oh.
And so our thoughts were she would love to at some point kind of lead trips. Like, because there's such self-discovery. She's like in the hiking process, just what you're actually doing on a journey, the whole stopping along the way.
Yes.
And she has such a heart for that, and she can lead you safely and effectively. Right. And
that's a good idea. That's such a way for her to do
she
ministry.
Can do women's retreats. Like, so I was like, okay, it is on my radar. Okay, I remember telling a friend who goes,
yeah.
you? And I was like, stop it. I was like, yes, I trust Naomi.
Well, if you go, you have to tell me. I would love to do that.
Okay, after you're married yes. and we... Okay, I would love to.
Because if she does, like, a women's retreat, mm-hmm. that would be amazing.
Because she tells you not only that, like, all the things you need... cost effectively,
right?
Like exactly what year
you have
you would
to
need.
Take.
You do.
I mean, that's it's not like a see. Because in my head, I'm like, I'm gonna just get up and go hike. But like,
I would fall off the mountain. Yeah, and die. Like I people do die when they yes. do it without
proper like mm-hmm. training or at least taking like the right amount, the right equipment.
Right. I mean, because she leaves kind of margin. It's like you can do it. You need to do it smart. Use the, right. the brains that you have. Mm-hmm. But it's not so scheduled and so that you have lots of time mm-hmm. to take in the margins.
It's a very healing process.
Yeah. Well, it's like Wild by Cheryl Strayed.
I've not read that.
I have not read it, but I watched the movie. Okay. Which it is a bit graphic of a movie. I mean, it's very, it just shows a lot of, maybe it's just like a lot of nudity in my, like.
What's it about? I don't even know the premise of it. Oh,
well, yeah. I can,
that, this will be in the show notes because now I'm wanting to read
Wild by Cheryl Strayed. Yeah, it's, this goes right along really with what we're talking about. But she wrote, Reese Witherspoon plays her in the movie.
Okay, I remember now the preview, but and I still don't remember the premise.
I will watch like anything with Reese Witherspoon. So I kind
of wanted to be her like when I grew up. Me too. She's younger than me. But.
Me too. I was like, I just want to be Reese Witherspoon. I went with a friend to watch it in the movies. When I was definitely like very single, I hadn't lived here very long. I still worked in news, and so did my friend, and we were both very like.
Is it based on a true story?
It is based on a true story. And she. Gets, I guess she gets divorced. I'm going to butcher this because it's been a while since I watched it and I didn't read the book. But she for sure like leaves her life. It was after her mom died.
Okay,
that's why she went and she decided to hike Pacific Northwest.
Okay,
Pacific Northwest. And so there's it's the same thing. There's like a group. People try
she
to hike
by
it.
Herself?
She went by herself, okay. And because in the it reminded me when you were talking about like her,
well,
your equipment.
And Naomi talked a lot just about how when people do this, oftentimes, and they are at the end of their rope, or it is, they go on a journey, they're not real scared because in a lot of
it's
because they don't
the
really
of,
have they feel like they don't have much to lose anyway.
That's
so
without saying it, that's pretty much where she was, yes. And she her mom died, and she had had a very like in the movie, her mom is like so sweet and tried to do a lot for her, but they didn't have a lot of money, and she was like not that great to her mom, and she's like trying to mend that relationship with her dead mother, basically.
Right.
And she like got divorced. She had a lot of really bad relationships and kind of was just having sex with people and it was, I think there were some drugs and things like that involved.
Well, coming from Christ's perspective, like we know that is what this world has to offer to fill every
void
we have,
and
so people
to
tap
try
into everything.
Everything
to numb it, to fill it, to whatever it, and until you go somewhere deeper,
which is what she was trying to do.
She was trying to find her meaning, a significant life. What's the significance and the meaning of this
and
life?
She wrote so her and her ex-husband, I think, were still on good terms, and he knew like she had to go do this. Mm-hmm. She wrote things to herself. And he had them, like, mailed or something along the way.
That's really neat.
It was really cool. Because she would, like, sometimes read quotes, and it was from her. So she would read it and be like, Cheryl Strayed. Like, she would, like, read it as if she was reading out of a book or something. Mm-hmm. And she ended up meeting people along the way. Like, same kind of thing, like a community. And they would have their stops or whatever. And there weren't very many women doing the trail.
There's not. I mean, Amy did say that there's more now that are doing it.
I'm sure now.
Yeah.
But I remember her, like, in the movie, she, like, gets her backpack and it weighs her down. I mean, she has to make her food and she's, like, starving at some point and her boots are, like, rubbing blisters. And it's a really, really cool movie just because, and I'm sure the book is even better. It is just about that journey.
I'm on my list.
Yeah. I know. I have a running list of books to read.
Me too. I have actually started reading again, though. I'm trying to keep three books going at once.
Yeah.
A nonfiction. That, mm-hmm. And then also a craft. Like, I have one that's called How to Write Short.
Oh.
And so it would be one that was kind of more learning, either whatever it be about painting or mm-hmm. writing, and then one that would be fiction.
Yes.
So that would probably, that one's nonfiction, though, isn't it?
It's nonfiction,
it's nonfiction.
Yeah.
The one I'm reading right now is the, Outlaw.
Yes.
The one about the personality of Jesus by Eldridge.
Yes.
Beautiful Outlaw.
Beautiful Outlaw. Yeah, I've heard of
that.
I'm reading The Broken Way. And then two books just came out. That's by Anne Boskamp. And you've read that. Yeah.
No.
No,
I have it. And I'm doing the study.
Doing
also,
the study,
but
yes.
I'm behind in the book.
Yes. I am too. But
I actually got four books going right now.
Yeah. And then two new books just came out. Bob Goff's wife, Maria Goff, wrote.
He's one of my favorites.
Me too. She wrote a book called Love Lives Here. Just released
that.
Gotta get that. And then Rebecca Lyons just released You Are Free.
Gotta get that.
So they both just came out. And I was like, that. Oh, I have to get that. Gotta get that.
Gotta get Black Eyed Peas. Gotta get it. Okay.
But yeah, while I think you will really like Wild. I would like to read it too, just because the movie is great, but I want to go back and read it.
And the writing book that I'm reading right now, mm-hmm. When we talk about finding meaning in the margins, there is an actual writing term called, and hold on, marginalia. They are the marks made in the margins of books or other documents. They may be scribbles, comments, glosses, anecdotes, critiques, doodles, or illuminations. And oftentimes if you find a used bookstore, they talk about getting books like that have notes in the side. Because mm-hmm. I've marked up all of my books.
Yes, I've started doing that.
And then people often, like, they'll write their own book based on the margins, the marginalia that they have put in books.
Yeah.
And what it... So it said to start marking up all your books just for language. Like, what language did you write? And they said to keep a day book. And in the day book, keep the quotes that you liked or keep the language that you liked. So I wrote down yesterday, one that I loved was that they lit the tongues of the candelabra. I just mm-hmm. liked the idea when it said that brought such a visual to mind.
Right.
To light the tongues of the candle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of goes along with what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's...
Just in the margins.
That's a beautiful way to look at it because, like in life, like stopping... At the Wildfire Cafe. And leave
enough margin so that you can.
You can, because if not, well, it'd be like reading a book without any margins.
It would be awful.
It would just stretch across the page and be chaotic. And that's like, sometimes that's how my life gets. There's no margin, and it's just like, here to there, here to there, here to there, here to there, turn the page. Okay, next page. Like, instead of, I think I started doing that after I borrowed one of your books, and you had writing in it, and it was like, you gave me permission to write in my book. Like, I owned the book.
And he talked about that, like, in college, they were taught, don't write in your textbook, mm-hmm. don't write, not in college, actually, in high school, mm-hmm. they're like, don't write in your textbook, or your parents are going to have to buy it, don't write in your textbook.
Yes.
But then when he got to college, one of his professors had said, write in your everything. Yeah. Like, this is where your margins, you keep all your notes.
And you can go back and look. And even when I borrowed your books, I'm like, Katie thought that was really good.
And to see what sticks out to different people.
And then something else sticks out to me, or it makes me pay attention to that. Like, oh, that is a good quote. Like, I wouldn't have picked up on that, you know? And that's, like, the same with our lives. Like, maybe you stop and do something or have a moment that's in the margin, and it makes someone else be like, oh, wow. Like, I need to recognize that.
It helps us see through somebody else's eyes for half a second. And that's really nice. I have a friend that... She is such an artist. She is, her name is Heather Green, and she is wonderful. And I've told her before, she makes these moss crosses.
Mm-hmm.
And when she walks around, literally, she sees things I know that I mm-hmm. don't see. And so it's like fairy dust. And so I was like, I would love to see through your eyes for just one day. Because uh-huh. she said that, like, moss will literally almost, like, highlight itself as she's walking through the woods. Oh, wow. And I was like, how many times have I just stepped on it?
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to step on it. Mm-hmm. And also one of the podcasts I was just listening to, and I'll put it in the show notes, which is one of my favorites. It's Jamie Ivey, The Happy Hour, and mm-hmm. she's interviewing someone that had a heart condition. And just being a young mama and living with a heart condition, how it really did at a young age, wake her up to living with an eternal perspective versus... just in the moment, in the grind of getting from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to live like that all the time. Yes. Now.
And have that, leave that room for margins. Yeah. That's so good. Marginalia. Is that what
marginalia.
That's a new word.
On images. It has images of books,
mm-hmm.
like all these different books and people. So you can blow them up and look at them.
I'm looking
them
it up right now. That's so cool.
Like famous authors that have written in the margins of different books, what notes they have written. And, there's a term that talked about a writing technique. One would be to write a short, concise sentence, but to add, they ended up calling it grace notes, but it was one word that would have layers to mm-hmm. it. So, and then it gave you a writing exercise to write your own sentence. So my sentence was, I actually Googled what are some interesting words because I wanted a word that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And xenophobe, a xenophobe is someone who has fear of strangers or foreigners. So my sentence was America was founded as a melting pot, but we've kind of turned into a crock pot of xenophobes.
Oh, that's good.
But we in light of Christ and looking through his lens, yeah, we are all foreigners and strangers.
Yeah, we are. And he loves all of us.
And when we are governed by fear, which our nation mm-hmm. is so fearful right now,
yeah,
that we are walking around, we are reactionary versus mm-hmm. responding. And that is not who we are. We are a country yeah. of immigrants. And we're not supposed to just be simmering in fear mm-hmm. As xenophobes.
That's good.
I don't want to walk
two
around.
New words today.
Yes, marginalia and xenophobes.
Yes.
Okay,
we're out of time. Let's have our questions or question.
We do hope that this will spur a conversation with somebody from a different generation.
Yes.
Share your marginalia.
You didn't even. I talked so much.
What?
You didn't even get to talk about. You were going to talk about your date, I think, or your anniversary or something with Jay.
Okay, we'll talk about anniversaries another time because she
yes.
has a lot to share because it was her parents' anniversary
yes.
last week.
We kind of went off our own beaten path and started talking about...
And let it take its
hiking
own course.
And, yeah, yeah.
Yes. but to talk with somebody about their little stories that took them in directions they didn't expect to go. And
yeah.
Ask your grandparents. Ask
yes.
Somebody.
Talk about it with your friends. It is cool to hear that. And to get to, you never know what you can learn from someone else's story. So
we hope that over the next week that you will connect and love on someone well and share stories with one another. Maybe plan to go on the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. Go on your own little hike. Have a great day.
And peace out.
Bye.